they call it Kinkyology. Hey, come on in, everybody. Welcome to Kinkyology. This is season 2, episode 15, titled That Good Hurt. I will be talking tonight about sex and disabilities. So come on in. Welcome. Welcome. How's everybody doing tonight? Make sure you, if you want to leave messages, and I know you are, give Facebook permission to show your name. Other than that, it'll just say Facebook user. I am the Kinky Kid. This is my podcast, Kinkyology. If this is your first time, you can go find previous episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict. Just Google Kinkyology. It comes all up. I got a song named Kinkyology as well. Again, I was talking last week about setting a sex schedule, and somebody left in the comments to talk about sex and disability. So I decided that this week I would talk about sex and disabilities. I know it doesn't look like it, but I have 2 invisible disabilities. Now, invisible disabilities sometimes can be a little bit harder than disabilities you can physically see, because people don't know or you don't look sick until you either get in a relationship with me or we're really good friends or you be around me. You won't know how much pain I really live in. So an invisible disability is one that you just can't, like I said, physically see. So I have 2 chronic pain illnesses. I have one that attacks my nerves, and I have another one that attacks my joints. And I've been sick since I was 16 years old. So I'll share a little bit about my personal experience being disabled and how it's affected sex, or, you know, the problems that come because of it. Hey, Atlanta Light, how you doing? What's up, Nurse Kim? Hey, Bryson, how you doing? There's so many different ways people feel about people with disabilities and how they should or shouldn't like sex or things like that. So I'm going to talk about, hey, Mark, what's up? I'm going to talk about some of the myths that come along with being a disabled person, how people, you know, feel about you, or even family and friends, how they feel once they find out that you're sick, you know what I'm saying, or that you're dating somebody that's sick. I'm also a cancer survivor. And that was a big thing. Like, for a minute, I didn't want to get in a serious relationship because I didn't want to die on nobody. But at the same time, people who did get in a relationship with me, I had a young lady, her mother was like, well, what if she died? You know what I'm saying? Well, why you can't let me while I'm here? You know, but some people don't want to deal with death. And, you know, so I had to make some adjustments with how I love people or the love that I receive, because you had to kind of, like, I'm going to love you, but I can't love you because you might be dead. You know, so just living through that and have experienced it on so many different levels and so many different ways. And then it's all different types of disabilities. So we'll talk about a couple of them. What's up, Lady Frank? How you doing? Been following over 10 years. Actually answered an email I sent. Oh, thank you, Atlanta Light. Well, I try to answer. As long as it's something that's not disrespectful, I try my best. Because I get some really crazy emails, you know. And I've been on narcotics since I was 16, over 30 years. And I just recently, last March of 21, I decided to take myself off of all narcotics. It was one point where I lived on fentanyl. And if anybody knows, it's a drug that right now is killing a lot of people out here. People are dying. Michael Jackson died with fentanyl overdose. Prince had fentanyl in his system. But I lived on fentanyl for 3 years. Fentanyl is 50 times stronger than heroin. So when I tell you I was living in like a zombie-like state, like I'm functioning, I'm moving, but I'm a shell. You know, it was crazy. And I remember my guy said one day, I talked to the wall for 30 minutes. you know, it's some weird stuff that happened when you off on these narcotics or you high. And as soon as you tell somebody you hurt, the first thing they want to do is pump you up with narcotics. And I got so used to them that I thought that was the only way I could live. And I was so proud of myself to pull myself off of them, because that was a very hard decision to make. But the good thing is I'm only in like 10% more pain than I would have been in on them. But my mind is clear. I'm not foggy. I'm not, you know, comatose. I'm not, you know, zombie-like, because I'm so doped up. But I am in pain. I do live in more pain, but I feel so much better mentally that I'm able to. So that's why I start working out. I was in the gym real heavy a few months ago, but I just recently got sick again. So hopefully I'll be able to get back in the gym. But you have to make adjustments and you have to do things, because like I said, I can't just get up and go. It's days when I want to get up and I can't get out the bed. So having somebody who got to get up and go to work every day and you get to sit at home in the bed, they might feel like that's a burden, but at the same, or, ooh, you lucky, but motherfucker, I'm in pain. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sitting here like, yeah, they gone. I'm sitting here like, oh, who's going to get my water? You know, shit like that. Hey, fan. Hey, foot man. What's up? Come on in, everybody. But yeah, so I'm talking about disabilities and having sex with disabilities. I'm very open and honest. The lady said she's been following me for 10 years. You can see I've just lost 60 pounds. Like I've worked really hard to try to make myself better. I felt like, oh, if, you know, when you go in the doctor, you black and you heavyweight, you on narcotics, they treat you like you're a drug addict. First of all, I'm only fat because I'm sick. And then I'm only on narcotics because you put me on them. So just, I wanted them to do their job. So I chose to lose weight and get myself off narcotics. Now fix me. Now fix me. Figure out what the problem is. For me, especially when I had my cancer, I went the natural route with a lot of things. I did a lot of Chinese medicine. I've done acupuncture. I've did a lot of colonics. Chinese make this nasty tea. My new daddy calls it nasty tea. It's the like they put grasshoppers and shit. It's the nastiest tea. But Western medicine does not heal. Western medicine subsides. So when you get into the Chinese medicine, they try to heal what's going on. They try to restore the things that are ailing you instead of just saying, oh, we're going to cut it out or we're going to dope you up, you know. So I've been on a long journey and I'm still sick, but I'm here. So something is worked, you know. So, but with my relationships and my sex life, it has affected it in a lot of ways. Now, I have amazing sex. But it's hard sometimes to get people to want the sex, because if you love somebody and all day they ooh and on, you don't want to have sex with them because you think you're going to hurt them more, you know, so it goes a lot of way. Hey, oh, I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry, Atlanta said, I'm a man. You better tell me. What's up, honey? He said, I'm a man. But yeah, okay, I'm sorry. I don't know. I just know you here, and I appreciate you, and I love you for it. So thank you for, you know, showing up tonight. Does anybody who's watching have a disability, or have you ever been in a relationship with somebody who is disabled to some extent? And then I have no sense of smell as well. So then that's kind of hard sometimes for people to understand, because you can fart all you want. I can't smell it, you know. I can feel if it's real bad that my area changed, but I can't tell you if it's a fart or whatever. So you learn to, with reasoning, say, oh, you must have farted, or, you know, something like that. But I have no sense of smell. I haven't been able to smell since I was 27 years old. So at one point I was able to smell, but I don't have a sense of smell as well. I was born with spina bifida. Right? That's how you pronounce it. I hope that was correct. DKK, will you please stand so we can see this weight loss in a video or post a pic on Instagram? That's wonderful. I'm not going to stand right now, but I have pictures. I've been posting, girl. I've been posting, okay? And not to go off too far, but a couple of years ago, I had just lost, I had lost 86 pounds. And then this time, I wasn't as heavy. I've just lost. So I'm the smallest I've ever been in 21 years. I'm a size 14 now. The biggest I've been was a 22. But it was a trend on TikTok called the coffee and lemon diet. And I have never had a cup of coffee a day in my life. Because my mama used to make it for her every morning. So I was like, I'm never going to drink that shit. So I never drank coffee. But every time I would see this video on TikTok, my spirit would say, do that. And I fought it because I'm like, I don't drink coffee, but I'm also a person who listens to my spirit. So since it kept doing it, every time I saw it, something in me would say, do it. I finally went on ahead and did it. And real fast, like last September is when I started. Real fast, I lost 30 pounds. And then after that, that's when I started going to the gym, and then I lost 30 more. I just was sick this last month, so I have gained 10 pounds back, but I was snacking and just eating, you know, getting high and just munching. So, but I started the lemon and coffee diet again. I'm on my third day today. So I'm going to do that, and hopefully Monday I'll be feeling well enough to try to get back in the gym. But I have pictures up. I've been posting. This is the small. I'm very proud of my smallest. I haven't been a 14 since my son was like 6, 7 months old. So this is like, hey. Oh, thank you, Footman. Yeah. So, right. So yeah, back to disabilities. But that could be a problem too, because even just like I talked about it a little bit. I think was it last week before last, having sex, and not only am I being a big girl, but being a big girl who's disabled, and men want to take your legs and hold them over your head or want your feet. No, I need my thighs at one point weighed 40 pounds a piece. Just my thighs. Just my one thigh was 40. The other one was 40. I set that sucker on a scale and it was like 40 pounds. My titties at one point was 10 pounds. So I had a lot of heavy shit on my body. You know what I'm saying? You ever just throw your titty on a scale? I'm the only one. Am I the only one? But yeah, I weighed my damn leg. I put my thigh on it. My thighs were 40 pounds a piece. So you trying to hold 80 pounds, I'm sick, my titties big, you smothering me. It was a lot of different things that some people allowed you to do that you can't do that shit with me. I can't sit here for 5 minutes while you trying to, and you want me to enjoy you licking me, but my thighs are killing me. You know what I'm saying? They smothering me, they crushing me. I can't do that. So just being honest, and some women will fight through it or just take it. No. My time for sex is my enjoyment. So I'm not going to allow you to put me in any positions that's not enjoyable for me. And you trying to keep me in a pretzel. Now, it's one point where I used to be able to take like one leg and this leg. And I'm still almost there. But that's different from you pinning me down in this position. So you just have to be honest about what you need. Also consider Googling the Mediterranean. What? Oh, okay, to help lose weight. The Mediterranean diet food pyramid and snapshot what you can follow. Awesome and delicious. You lose weight. I don't know. I'm real, I do the exercise and I try to eat good. That's basically the most I do. But yeah, so you have different types of disabilities. We have physical disabilities, emotional disabilities, developmental disabilities. Like I said, I even have I have invisible and two disabilities that leave me in chronic pain. So everybody's disability you want is not in a wheelchair or not something, you know, because they're blind or whatever it is. But my breasts can suffocate me on my back. Look, and I haven't seen your breasts, but I've seen your breasts, you know, like, you know what I'm saying. But yeah, like even for me, it's times, like I said, it's days I can't get out of bed. So to me, if a guy want to take you out on the weekend, he should call you by Tuesday or Wednesday to make sure you're available. Because he, in his mind, should think, oh, I have to make sure, you know, so nobody, you know, I have to do it before somebody else does. He's supposed to always wonder if it's somebody else. But for me, I couldn't do that because I don't know how I'm going to feel day by day. So I'm sorry that your birthday is today, but I'm at a 10 right now. You know, I can't move. I can't get out of bed. So it's been times like that or things like that. It's hard. It can be hard to date somebody who doesn't understand disabilities or who doesn't believe it because they can't see it, you know. But I used to have to make a lot of adjustments with things like that. Or a lot of times me and my friends used to bring the club to my house. You know, instead of us going out, we just, hey, y'all, everybody make their own potluck. We have room, the kids all up in there, and we just come over to the house, we drink, we kick it, whatever. But getting, you know, but then it was sometimes where I went out every day, you know, and my doctor said it was because I was sick and I just needed to be out the house. So you go through your different stages and different ways that you deal with the pain, or different ways that you have people around you help you deal with the pain. So, man, plan change. Did the coffee diet make you use the restroom frequently? LaToya Jackson, no, but it did make me go. It did not make me go. Like, also, my first time doing the coffee and lemon diet, I also did some of those bougie hippie colon cleanser things too, but I already lost maybe 13-14 pounds before I added the colon cleanser. So I did the colon cleansers for probably a month, but other than that, I didn't, with that I went a little bit more, but I didn't like that feeling, so I pulled myself back from it. But the coffee, like, I just started again, and it probably just make you go once in the morning and then that's it. It's not like I gotta run to the bathroom every 20 or 30 minutes. I don't have that problem. But I'm not, TMI, but I'm not normal there anyway. My mom tried it, and I believe it made them go, but not constantly. I think they did once or maybe twice, but not every 30 minutes. And then once you get used to it, it'll kind of wear off. But yeah, going back to disabilities, yeah, it's days where I want to get out of bed and I can't because I don't feel well. And like I was saying beforehand too, or I want to have sex, but I say, oh, you know, can we have sex? Or, you know, you flirt with them, do whatever, so you think you're going to have sex, and they're not doing nothing. And I'm like, why you don't want to touch me? What's wrong with me? And I'm like, oh, because you don't feel good. I never feel good, you know, but I had to learn how to accept the fact that if somebody does care about you, it is hard for them to hear you ooing, hear you moaning, sometimes crying, you know, and then be like, have sex, you know. So even though I did really want the sex, I had to honor that had to be hard for them. So it's not even just for the people we date, but we have to take into consideration about how they feel with certain things as well. So I'm not against dating people with disabilities because everybody has or needs love. And what one person can give you, you shouldn't let you yourself miss out on that because, you know, they have a certain disability. But you have to be sure that it's something that you can deal with, you know. Don't just do it to have somebody. Make sure you can be a benefit to their lives, as an addition to their lives or something like that. What I talked about with me and the disabilities, and it was really hard sometimes because I would want to have sex so bad, you know, and they're like, no, you don't feel good. But yeah, we get to define sex however you want to. Everybody don't like doggy. Everybody don't like riding. Everybody don't like anal. Everybody don't like sucking dick, you know. So just because you don't do what the top five people say is needed to be kinky or freaky, that's not their way. They can't define that for you. You get to define what your sex is, what your naughtiness is, what your kinkiness is. With me being the kinky kid, a lot of people assume I'm just a nasty bitch. No, baby, I'm not nasty. I'm a kink. And it's a difference. No, I'm not sending you pictures, but you're the kinky kid. And I've never had to send a picture to become the kinky kid. That's not my thing. You know, everybody has their own thing that they're into. I don't allow somebody else's ideology of kinkiness, which they probably just nasty in the first place, try to deter who I am and my level of kink. So even when it comes to being sick and the things I was willing to do or the things I asked for sometimes, some people questioned it. Some people was like, well, can you do that? Well, motherfucker, if I couldn't, why would I? Well, for one, I want to try, or I did try and I can do it. Like, I'm not dead. I'm handicapped or I'm sick or whatever, you know? So just learning to not to maneuver in a relationship with somebody who is sick. You will have to, people gonna ask some weird questions sometimes, but at the same time, again, I have to be sensitive to that because they do see me doped up. They do see me delirious out my mind. They do see me, you know, damn near stumble and can't walk. They do see that it takes me sometimes an hour just to get out of bed because I'm in so much pain, you know. So you have to not only feel like, oh, I can't, but you have to take, if you love them too, you have to see how hard it is for them to see you in that state. Do you know if people have a fetish? Yes, people do. Trisexual, cute Atlanta. Footman, yes, people do have a fetish for disabled people. I actually at one time knew the name for it. I can't think of it right now, but not only do they have a fetish for disabled people, you have people who have fetish for amputees or people who just like people in wheelchairs. So it's so many different people who get off on things that other people would shun or be like, oh, they be like, oh, you only got one leg? Let me suck your nub. You know what I'm saying? So it's somebody out here for everybody. And that's the honest to God truth. Is somebody out here for everybody? Are you brave enough to find out who that is? You know, people. Oh no, I understood what you were asking. Yeah. So I know you have a disability and you said you were born with spina bifida. I can't remember the word no more. But again, your sex is based off what intimacy feels for you, what that's like for you. So don't let other people try to convince you that if you can't do this, then it's not sex. That's not like that. Some people don't like for their sons or daughters to date people with disabilities. And I talked about that a little while ago, because again, like when I was sick, hey, you know, what if they die? What if this? What if you have a lot of responsibility? And the reality, those are fair questions. I will, you know, that's a concern of any parent. But at the same time, everybody deserves love, you know, so they feel like, oh, well, what if my grandchild is born with this disability? Or what if you become a burden to my son or daughter because they love you? And those are fair questions. So you as a disabled person or somebody can't be mad if people ask those questions or want to know or feel is like, man, this is too much for them. They shouldn't have to do that. That's a lot. You know, you found the foot group. So just being able to know, not take those type of questions personally is really important. Sometimes we feel a certain type of way, but you can't let it's a lot of ignorant people out here. You just be so secure in your own shit that no matter what come, you will be able to get through it. You know, you should be able to love whoever you want to love. And if you happen to meet somebody who's sick, don't let that be. If they make you happy, if they do whatever, you don't have to walk away from them. Don't let society make you feel that they're unlovable, because that's not true. It might be a point in my life where I'm not able to walk. You know, I have some really serious issues with my nerves and my back. And at one point I had a really bad limp, and I've been told that I will probably end up with a really bad limp again. You know, it's hard for me to climb stairs. It's a lot of things. So when you get, but should I not be loved because of that? Should somebody not want to date me? Because some days, you know, I can't walk up a flight of stairs or, you know, some, you know, different things like that. And some people run from it, where some people take it with open arms, you know, yeah, open arms. That was right. It's, I'm more worried about people being mentally stable than perfect physical specimens. I agree, Atlanta. You know, I agree. But even to say that, for me, I definitely understand and I am mentally stable, but a lot of times I was comatose with drugs, you know. So like my guy, he told me that he was like, you're high maintenance. And I'm like, I am not high maintenance. He was like, not the typical high maintenance. You're high maintenance to the point where when you say something, I have to decipher, is high kinky saying that or regular kinky? You know, who's really saying this? Or is that what they really mean? Or do they really mean this? Because I talk backwards a lot because I'm also dyslexic. I'm dyscalculic, you know, so I have a lot of things. Like, I'm just all like, ugh, you know. But here I is, you know, so, but yeah, I never thought about it the way that he said that. But you do, you know, I tell my son, go get my shoe out the refrigerator. And he'd be like, oh, you want some water? And people be like, how you know? That's just how she talk. You know what I'm saying? My kids knew if I said, get my shoe out the refrigerator, that meant I needed a bottle of water. I needed some water. I don't know how they figured it out, but that's my sister would say, you know, she speak Pig Latin, English, and then kinky, because you don't know. You have to learn how to decipher what I'm saying. Cause sometimes I'm so doped up, my words are flipping backwards. You just have to say, okay, yeah, she did say get her food out the, you know, her food out the refrigerator, but really what she wants is some cold water. You know, so it's really, it can be hard loving somebody who talk backwards, somebody who be so doped up they don't remember, like, how did I get here? When did you, what happened yesterday? You know, how did I, whatever. So that can be hard for people. What did you say yours was, Bryson? I didn't say. You said, would you count mine as a disability? What is it? What is it? I don't remember. You got to tell me. But yeah, I don't care if you're disabled or not. You deserve orgasm. So I don't want anybody watching or listening to feel like, you know, if you do have a disability, nobody will love you. You know, because that's not true. Yeah, they might have to make some adjustments. Yeah, it might be a little bit different, but man, take that shit, get it. You know, and I do know sometimes it hurts for people you love to see you in that pain, but I'm worth it. You know, I'm worth you riding through it with me sometimes or not letting me have to go through it by myself. But yeah, so I'm gonna give you all a couple of myths when it comes to dating disabled people. One is people with chronic illnesses or disabilities are not sexual. And that's not true at all. Our dicks get hard. Our pussies get wet. We think about sex. Did I say nipples get hard? Yeah, no. Nipples get hard. We get excited. You know, you have nasty thoughts. If it work. Just because it might hurt afterwards or hurt during or whatever doesn't mean that it can't be enjoyable. Disabled people are sexual. If those areas work. And even, to be honest, like I said, I had cervical cancer. And my pussy still was excited. You know, I still wanted sex. I didn't, for a long time, I couldn't have sex. For a minute, you can even put a finger. It was one point where you couldn't even put a finger in me. But when I could have sex, yeah, I wanted sex, you know. Yeah, until I couldn't. Then I'm like, okay, but yeah, nah, you want to still have sex. Like I said, that 10 seconds or 30 seconds or all day thinking about the orgasms you had, it's worth it. It's worth the excruciating pain you might be in for those 10 to 15 minutes. Another myth is that disabled people are not sexy or desirable. Hello, you see my pretty ass? Do you see my pretty ass? Don't let them fool you, okay? Yes, it might be different when everything come out, but I'm pretty with the wig off too, motherfucker. Don't let it motherfucking fool you. So yes, disabled people are beautiful. Big Sexy is in here, and Big Sexy has lost their hair. And when I had the opportunity to first see Big Sexy without a wig, I was like, bitch, you are killing it. Oh my God. And it took a minute. You know, we wear the wigs, and that's one thing we bonded with the wigs and stuff. But when they finally posted, made up with their hair bald, it was the most powerful. I just loved it. I was in awe, and I told them, oh my God, this is it. It was just the glow on their face. And one thing as a woman, when you lose your hair, because I lost my hair too, when you lose your hair, we live through our hair. A lot of women, that's our Samson. That's our strength. You know, we get to hide behind it. Our hair, we think, is what makes us. But me, I didn't realize how beautiful I really was until I lost my hair. And then that's when you really get to see it. And so, oh, men? Oh, my God. Men, it gives you... the approach was different for men, because now they feel like I'm more confident. I'm not, before I might look unapproachable, I might look conceited, I might look this way. But when you have a bald head, they think, oh, she's confident, oh, she's strong, oh, she's powerful. So, and then the sexy, you know, I was always sexy or pretty, but I was more sexy with the short hair, more pretty with the long hair, you know. So just really having that opportunity to know what that feels like. I mean, my hair, I was so bald, my daughter, when they saw me, they cried. It looked terrible. Like, I was on some medication. I never went through chemo, but I was on some medication for the cancer, and I didn't know. And I permed my hair, and all my hair just came out. And my mother's like, oh, you look like you have cancer. But it was real bad. It was bad. Oh, thank you. Yes, see the beauty. You answered my question. Oh, anxiety and depression. You know what? That's a mental disability. It is. But it's one that you can control and get medications for. And I don't think it's anything wrong with you meeting. I wouldn't be like, hi, my name is Bryson. I have, you know, I'm disabled. You know what I'm saying? But if you start dating somebody, if you all are having conversations, I think it's nothing wrong with letting them know, hey, I do. But so some people keep, a lot of people battle with those. So that's not something a lot of people feel like. A lot of us have anxiety. A lot of us are depressed. You know, a lot of us, the ones who are medicated, I salute you more than the ones who won't get help, you know. So those are not something you do, usually people shun you for, because 95% of us are probably have anxiety and depression. I've even been told I have PTSD. I'm not claiming none of that shit. I'm not claiming none of that. So I've been told I had a lot of shit. I ain't got that. No, I don't have that. I'm not, that doesn't work all the time, because I did really have cancer. But, you know, just, I don't have that. And I went alone. I refused all medications. I was going all natural. I was just like, fuck, I'm just going to die. I'm not going to do nothing. Yeah, that didn't work too well. But yeah, so then another myth for disabled people, having spontaneous sex. Now, sometimes we can have the spontaneity of sex, but sometimes we have to prepare. It has to be a mental relaxation, a physical, you know. I don't know if you all heard about the spoon theory, but what they say is that, and if you ever date somebody who's disabled, it's really important to try to, I try to teach people the spoon theory when I date them so they can kind of understand how my pain works. So say the spoon theory is, say we get 12 spoons a day. You get 12 spoons where you can get up, go to work, you could take a shower, you could do this, you could go to the gym, you could do whatever. And when you get home, you might have 4 or 5 spoons left. Where with me, if I'm only allotted 12 spoons in a day, me taking a shower, for one, me getting out of bed, that's a spoon. Getting in the shower, that's 3 spoons. If I have to cook breakfast, that's another 3 spoons. I haven't even put my clothes on yet, and I'm only down to 2 spoons. So what it takes for a normal person to go the whole day and do all this stuff, everything I do takes so much energy away from me. You know, so I'm a spoon, you know, I'm a spoonie, and I had to teach people to understand, like, hey, yeah, you could jump up and go get in the shower. I can't do that. It's a process. I have to mentally prepare myself to get up. I have to think about what I'm wearing. I have to have that ready. I can't just be all like this, because it's not going to go well for me. I'm going to get mentally depressed, and, you know, physically it's going to be overwhelming. So just learning to know what it is, who you are, and be able to teach your partners how to respect it and understand it. Because a lot of times, you know, they'll be like, well, why you didn't pick that pile of clothes up on the floor? Because it ain't bothering me. it don't bother me. But it bothered me to bend down and pick it up. If you could pick it up, why don't you pick it up? But I can't do that. Now, if you put it down there and you get it there, I can put it in the dryer, but I can't bend down. It has to be in a basket, on top of a basket, so I can reach, you know. So it was just learning those. And then I remember my ex-girlfriend called her friend told her, she's just using you. Now, granted, I've had some amazing girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever. But this time, this particular young lady was probably only making $11 an hour, right? And yay, I'm happy. I appreciate the support and whatever. But if I'm gonna use, I say, bitch, I used to piss 20s. Do you really think? You see my pretty ass? Do you really think if I was gonna use somebody, that the best I could do is somebody with an 11-hour job? I was like, people be telling y'all anything. I said, no, first of all, don't let no dumb bitch tell you no shit about me. She ain't sick. She just wants somebody to take care of her. Who make $11 an hour? You think I put my whole life fake a disability because you make, oh, she make 11. That's big time there. Come on now. So, you know, that people's friends, again, who don't understand, who think, oh, you using them. You just, she don't get up and go to work. No, but I sit here in this house and I make more sometimes than some people who can get up and go to work 5 days a week. So don't judge me. Don't do that. You know, don't let it fool. Yeah, I can't work a regular 9-to-5, but I find a way to make money. So again, you all go to my website, buy my book, thekinkykid.com. I have 2 books. Where my books at? I don't know where my books at. Oh, yes, I do. Here you go. 365 Ways to Keep It Kinky is my first book. It's a real good book. $10 on my website. And this is my second book. I'm a sucker because I'm a dick sucker, in case you didn't know or who don't know. If you don't know who I am, I'm popular because of my dick sucking skills, but ain't nobody ever seen me do it on camera. Just because my throat is like my throat chakra is amazing. You know, like, yeah. But anyway, yeah, so that's my life. People don't understand what it's like to need to rest after getting out the before you put your clothes on. Right. Getting dressed is a process. Then to get out the shower, I got to get back in the bed for a second. Then I got to get up, do my makeup and my hair. Can't put my wig on yet, but I got to do my makeup. Then I got to get back in the bed for a minute. Then I got to, okay, put my clothes on. Then yeah, get back in the bed for a minute. Oh yeah, honey. Oh, it's a process. And by the time you do that, you done took away 3 spoons already. Thank you, Atlanta Light. I appreciate that. Mental illness is a disability when it affects your normal quality of life, Bryson. Thank you. That was a great answer, Danielle. And Atlanta Light, Bryson, a lot of us men suffer from anxiety and depression. It's being proven in many cases to be environmental. I.e. example, we no longer hunt, build, fight, and masculinity is shunned. We're dying inside. That was a very powerful statement. I really appreciated that. And I love when men can answer from a man's point of view, because I do know the way that men, especially my black men, the way that they battle with depression or suffer from depression is totally different from how we suffer from it. So I appreciate you saying that. But the reality is just, Bryson, for me, for what I have learned about you over these two seasons of Kinkyology, is a part of you is so worried about being right or not making mistakes that you're not really living. You have to kind of jump out there and see what happens. You can't be overly prepared because you don't know what you're preparing for. You know, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. So you could learn this. You could pick this up. And guess what? None of that shit might cross your path. So you can't fear. You can't overlearn. You can't over be prepared, because you might be preparing for the wrong stuff. You just have to learn how to live. Don't be afraid to live. You're so worried about living wrong or messing up that you're not allowing yourself to enjoy life. And even in your uncertainty, it's still pleasure. But you're so busy being uncertain that you won't allow yourself to feel pleasure. You know, and that's in not just sexual pleasure, but in personal space and entertainment. You know, I don't know what you do. I'm not saying, you might watch movies. I don't know what you do on entertainment wise, but we have had some different chats and you have shared some things, you know, in the chat room and stuff. And I believe a lot of yours is you want to be so good that you're waiting to become this person. And it ain't no such thing as this perfect person. It ain't no person who got everything right. Cause you could think you have everything right and meet somebody who want everything different. So it's no, just be the core of yourself as a man. That's enough. But that other stuff, you just got to jump up. You're going to fuck up sometimes. You're going to mess up. You're going to live. You're going to learn. You might be mean to a chick. You might have a temper tantrum, but that's how you learn to control it. You have to make mistakes in order to get better. You don't come out the door perfect. You have to practice make perfect, not, oh, I'm going to keep doing it until I get it. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to make sure I know how to do it. You can't do that. You got to jump. Some things you got to learn in the process, you know. Yeah. But it is, you don't let it confuse you. Don't let it scare you. Just take it by the horns and fuck it, you know? Just jump. You can't be scared. You can't let it be, no. We win, we fail. You just never give up. That's the thing. I didn't fail a lot of times. Shit, I failed this week. If it wasn't for my family and my fans and my friends, I would still be flat on my freaking face right now, you know? But I fall and I went in kinky land like, y'all, I need a dollar. If everybody could send me a dot, my car broke down. And was I in a position to buy me another car? No. But I'm a grown woman with a business. But I make every dollar business. It ain't no, I get up, go to a place, whatever. So if y'all don't buy a book, if y'all don't make a donation, if y'all don't do whatever, I don't make no money. I don't get paid. I got one donation this whole time for this podcast, but I'm here every week on time. I research, I put effort into this, and it's growing. So I can't stop because I'm not getting donations because I didn't do it for donations. I did it for education. I did it to help people. I did it to reach out to people. So my blessings, every time I could get somebody else to seek their own understanding from something I said, somebody who might look at a disabled person in a different way because of me, or somebody who might be a little more patient with this, or know that, oh, let me really eat her pussy first because I told them, you know, that makes me feel good. And I know God is like, that's my girl, you know, so I get my blessings like that. But those blessings don't pay bills. Those blessings don't get you a car. Those blessings can't pay a car note, you know. So this has been a very hard month for me. I told you all last week how sick I've been. I didn't tell y'all. I was just, you know, showing up. But I can't come and complain because I chose this life. I chose to be this person. And when you is as a social media influencer, I feel when I screw up, when I'm not in a good place, not only do you disappoint your friends and your family, but I disappoint millions. You know, so that's a depression. But do you think I'm going to sit back and say, well, I don't want to depress them. Fuck them. I got to do what's best for me. I'm sorry if you don't like what Kinky doing, but Kinky, the only motherfucker who push her ass up out this bed every day. And it's days where I don't want to. It's days where I want to give up. It's days where I say, I've been doing this for a long time and I'm tired. It's a lot. My family know. What is it? Do not resuscitate. If it's ever a point where you choose, let me go. Let me go. Let me go. I've done a lot of amazing things. I don't have a bank account, but I have the notoriety. My wealth is legendary, not monetary, but I have touched millions of people and I'm blessed. My little sick, disabled ass. So don't ever let what other people think you can't do or the world see you as this way. Yes, I'm sick. Yes, I'm disabled. I'm still a motherfucking beast. And I'm a sexual god. And I am fucked up in pain all day, every day, you know. But I don't let that stop me. You have to just keep going. I could, my family would have been, if I wasn't shit, and I'm kind of not, I'm just popular. No, my family, but if I wasn't shit, they'd be like, but she been sick since she was 16. You know, she never been able to work a real job. You know, she couldn't do this. I would have excuses already lined up for me. But instead I say, oh, I could get disability, but that ain't enough. It's consistent, but it's not enough. Where with what I do, I can make a lot, then I might make nothing. But it's still the fact that I'm doing it. So you just have to make choices and I have to do whatever. But yeah, you don't, life is hard. And it's even harder being a disabled person. But I don't look for sympathy. I don't look for people to think I need you to come take care of me. I take care of me. You're an addition to what I'm doing, not the only thing. Because whether you hear or not, and when you don't, my family, my friends, my fans, they got me. And I love that, you know. I didn't get a lot, but it was enough to say thank you. It was enough to buy my city sticker from my fans. So I appreciate it. And, you know, my family came through so big. And I just, it's a blessing to know that even when you doubt yourself, it's still people who believe in you. Even though when you hurt so bad, you just want to give up, it's still people who gonna lift you up to say, no, you got this. And that's been a big thing, being somebody who's always sick, who always feels like I'm not enough, who always, yeah, I feel like that all the time. I feel like I should be so much more than what I am, but I couldn't be because I was sick. But goddamn it, the person I am is quite freaking amazing, you know? So you have to give yourself your accolades, even if they're not what you thought they would be. don't mean that they're not amazing. You know, so yeah, I might not be who I pictured myself to be, but the bitch that I am, she's amazing. And she worked really hard to get here. And I don't need nobody else. Only people I cared about with what I do and what are my children and my mother. And at one point, my mama didn't even like it. So as long as my kids didn't understand it, but they love me, so they rode with me. But now they all, hey, my mama the kinky kid, my daughter the kinky kid, my sister the kinky kid. And you know who she is? She a motherfucking beast with a sick ass. But yeah, I'm sick. Yeah. Heavy is the crown. People see the good glamour and are oblivious to the back. Yeah. And I speak about it. Like I say, if you watch my journey on YouTube, I got on YouTube, what, 13 years ago, 14 years ago. And just like when I started YouTube, I had a woman, then I was with a man. I had some in-betweens, but they didn't make it to the videos, you know. But yeah, so I can't live my life off what other people feel. And I can't let the fact that I'm not the traditional norm or the traditional, you know, girlfriend, because I might not have the physical ability to get up and just do this or to do that, doesn't mean that I'm not worth being loved. And I'll be damned, because I'm disabled or whatever, that I allow somebody to treat me less than. Don't feel like, well, at least I got somebody. No, I'd rather be by myself in this motherfucker than laying down next to somebody who's disrespectful, somebody who I feel lonely with, even though they're there. Don't allow yourself to be in that situation because you feel like you can't get... No, fuck that. You are worth enough by yourself before you let somebody's body disrespect you and you think you have to accept that. That's crazy. It's a lot of things I accept. But the things I won't accept, when that happens, I'm done. Ain't no uh-uh, because I told you what my I'm done's are. And you didn't believe me. See, I'll forgive this. I'll forgive that. But I told you what I won't forgive. And people want to do whatever and be like, oh, you're going to forgive me? Nope, I'm not. I'm done. But yeah, y'all. So if anybody wants to say anything about sex and disabilities, let's talk about it. Anybody have any questions about anything? It's so much more. I mean, I could do an episode every week for a whole 20 episode season about sex and disabilities. You know, and there's so many, like even with Bryson talking about his anxiety and depression, those are disablements for a lot of people. But the reality is that they're disablements for over 70% of us, you know. So if 70% of us, 50% can get up and make shit happen, then they say, okay, well, it's 20%. They got to learn how to do that too, you know, because it is possible. And it doesn't say that you don't suffer from it. It doesn't say that it don't fuck you up, because it does. But I'm smarter than my depression. You know, I've learned to outthink my stinking thinking. You know, when you have it for so long, you be like, okay, I got to figure some shit out. You know, so you just learn how to maneuver it better. It doesn't go away. You just learn how to beat it. You learn how to control it. You learn how to be smarter than it is. And that's been one of my biggest things, learning what my pains were, learning what my disablements were, and beating them. Not getting rid of them, but outsmarting them. The way that they break me down, the way that they take over, how the stinking thinking comes, being able to, you know, say some stuff, you know, talk back to my stinking thinking. Yeah, that's okay, but I'm this bitch. Yep, I'm this. I tell myself that. Yep, because I am. I might not. Yep, but I did this, didn't I? And I had to start reminding myself again who the fuck I am, even though myself is telling me I'm not. And it's crazy because you have battled with yourself. But you have to remember, who am I? And that's another, and I speak about this a lot, you all, but journaling is not only good for a regular person, but somebody who lives in a lot of pain. Somebody, for me, I love being able to go read some of my journals and see how sick I was then. Yeah, that was right. And be proud of myself. Like, bitch, you got through that. Man, I remember that. That was rough. But you did that. Well, look, this is bad, but it ain't nothing compared to where you were. This is fucked up, but you've been worse with this, and that. So look, but then it's harder too, because I'm older. I was able to handle the pain a lot better when I was younger. I'm almost 50 now. it's a lot harder. And I'm doing it with, so I stay high. I smoke a lot of weed. I eat a lot of edibles. I don't drink a lot. And I'm sitting here with a drink in my hand. But the only reason I didn't drink it is because I realized I haven't eaten, because I took that coffee and lemon and it knocked my appetite away. And I was like, oh, I'm going to drink this. I said, bitch, you can't drink that. You ain't had no food. So when I get off of here, I'm going to cook me some food. But yeah, so I don't drink like that. But when I do, I try to drink before my podcast, but yeah, I didn't eat today. But anyway, it's level to anxiety and depression. Some people have it much worse, to the point of being unable to function. I guess I didn't see kinky as having a disability. I think about having had sex with a headache or muscle pain, so I don't see disability unless it's a visible physical thing. Right. And it's not just, and I love that. Thank you. I appreciate that. But it's not just muscle pain. You know, like I said, I have one that attacks my joints and one that attacks my muscles or whatever. But when you think about a muscle pain, it's like, say you go to the gym and you work out. Oh, you sore. And it might be a little sore. You're like, oh, that hurt. Oh, that hurt. But I'm sore from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. Like, if you try to lay in bed and put your arm on me, it feels like it feels like 20 bricks are laying on me. You know, to touch me sometimes is painful. I can't cuddle because it feels like you're squishing me. You might touch me or I might be burning up. I have a fever of at least 100 to 2 degrees every night from usually 7 to 11. So somebody not understanding that. So I could get delirious from that when you have a fever that high. You know, my sister had to deal with that when I first got them. I would go crazy and, you know, not understanding. We went through a lot with this. So having episodes that people can't control, being so doped up, so out of your mind on drugs, you know, it can be scary and different, but it's more than just muscle pain. It's a mental thing. It's a fight to actually hear about is one thing. But when my curtain fall, when those lights go off, the pain that I'm in, or the way you get like, damn, you know, one person said, are you pretending? I said, I done had 5 surgeries since we've been together. Do you think the doctor's in on me pretending to be sick? I done had 5 major surgeries since we've been together. And she said, I think you pretending, because you be sick, but then when somebody come over, you get up. So you what? When people come over, you want me to lay in bed and look dead? No, I'm going to get up and get dressed. Yeah, it took away 6 of my fucking spoons, but that's what the fuck I do. You know, so it's really, some people can get it, some people can't. So yeah. Invisible disabilities are often looked over because they can't be seen and people can't relate to what we experience. Yes. But yeah, like I say, until you get to see me, and as you get to know me, if you look at some of my videos and you look at my eyes, my nickname used to be Raccoon, because my eyes are that dark. When my makeup is off, I look like I got 2 black eyes, you know, so when you look at some of the videos, sometimes you'll be able to look and see and be like, oh yeah, she was sick right then. I mean, I'm sick every day, but some days, even with makeup on, even whatever, you could just see it. It's just there, you know. So, and I don't give a fuck. I don't care, because they still love my sick ass, you know. But I rep for the people who are ashamed or don't want to tell people, because it is invisible. It don't mean that it don't hurt. It don't mean that you don't have the right to complain or the right to want certain amenities or be able to say, hey, I can't do this or I need this. And if they can't get it, then don't stay in that relationship. And I've been blessed. Yeah, they hate sometimes going to get me water, but goddammit, I might need water about 4 or 5 times a day, but I need you to go get it, because it hurt for me to get out the bed. I'm in the bed. How many hours in a day? 24? I'm in the bed at least 18 to 20 hours. Now, I used to get up and go in my office, but I'm not in my office right now. So I'm literally in the bed. Me, only day I come in here and do this is when I have to get on my podcast or I have a virtual class. Other than that, I am in the bed all day long, propped up, sitting right, having myself be away so I'm not in pain. You know, I have my bed set up. I have to be on the wall. I have to have myself sitting up a certain type of way. I got to have pillows, keep my back straight. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. Hey, Tiffany. Hey, honey. How are you? Hey. Okay, I be trying to follow stuff and whatever. I know you married now, right? So it might have been a minute, whatever. I think I said congratulations, but yeah, congratulations. Yeah. But yeah, I'm about to get out of here, y'all. But yeah, I'm a sick bitch, but that don't mean I ain't pretty and it's still a thick bitch. And they love my pretty sick ass. So don't let nobody make you feel like you're not lovable. Don't make nobody feel you like that you're not fuckable. Oh, right. Oh, yeah. I wanted to say something. I forgot, y'all. I be just talking about y'all, talking to y'all and going and rolling and forget that I forget stuff I want to talk about. So with being on certain medicines, when we are on certain medicines, you'll have medicines that might dry us out. Again, medicines that might make us feel loopy. You know, or I could be on the phone like, oh yeah, I want to have sex. I want to have sex. And then you come over and I'd be like, don't touch me. I don't want none. I can't do it. I'm sick. That happens. And you can't be mad because I really did want it. But it took you 10 minutes to get here and now I'm hurting. You know, so things like that happen. Insecurities for yourself, wondering because I had medicine sometimes that changed the way I taste, you know, down yonder. The way you smell, I can't smell, but you do have some medicines that seep through your pores. So, especially when I was doing a lot of the Chinese medicine, that stuff really kind of reeked in my skin and stuff like that. So when you take different medicines and you're with different, not different people, hopefully I mean, if you want to be with different people, get your freak on. I don't care, you know, however you want to do it. But the medicines not only they mess with us as well. We have our own insecurities about being sick. I know somebody who has diabetes and they have to wear the little things on their body, you know, even though people that they date don't it don't bother them, it's an insecurity or a thought of an insecurity. They're not insecure, but it's still an insecurity because they know that they're there. It hasn't stopped nothing. They still get it in, you know, they beautiful, whatever. But you got these two things sitting on you, like, what's that? You know, so that can be something to learn how to adjust to or different things like that. So somebody who might have to take their teeth out, you know, is that a disability if you don't have teeth? But I don't know if that's a disablement. I don't know if that's a disabled. Yeah, if you don't have teeth, I don't think that's I'm sorry. Okay, but yeah, I don't know. I just tried to make somebody not having teeth a disability, but for some people it could feel like it. Hey, Nikita, how you doing? I don't know if I'm saying it. Natakia, Natakia. Welcome to the podcast. Hey, King. Okay, I want to say it right so bad. What's up, Miss Scott? How you doing? Oh, it's too many I's. It is too many I's. Too many for my dyslexic ass. I want to put in. I can't do it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was hard. The fear of being taken care of or not having some. Let me say this, and I've voiced it a couple of times. Maybe not here on my podcast, but I have voiced it in my in Kinky Land. I hate living alone. I don't know why, but since my daughter was 2 and my daughter is 29 now, I had to teach my daughter how to cut the stove off because something in my brain does not allow me to remember to cut a stove off. So it's my son, my daughter would come home from school and they'll be like, is this something burning? And then I have no sense of smell. So when and I accidentally did set the house on fire when I was 8 years old. So it's a lot of little things that be messed up with me. And I don't like living alone, but I've been living alone since my son has went away to college. And I don't like that. I want somebody that I could live with, somebody that could be here. I have an alarm on my phone that at some point I took it off recently because I use my air fryer 90% of the time. But when I was still using a stove, my brain is so messed up that I have to have a reminder to tell me, go make sure you cut the stove off. Go make sure you cut the stove off. Because I'll be sitting here for hours. And then I have to have a certain type of pot. I have to have really good pots that have that really thick. You can't have a little thin metal. I have to have like those copper tone ones, those really nice heavy pots. Because yeah, it might be burning for 8 hours. Well, not now, but when my kids were still here, I would forget. And I go and I'm like, damn. And what I've been doing now, I've been doing good because I haven't been using the stove. But my ass been forgetting to cut the water off. I'm like, I ain't been in the kitchen in 3 hours. How did I not remember to cut the water off? So it's been water running out just straight out. And I pay a water bill. I got a house. I pay for this water. So I'm really upset about that. And I've done it at least 4 times in the last week. Left my water on for hours. Hours. So now I'm going to have to put an alarm on my phone. Is the water off, bitch? Is the water off? You would think, but look, Tiffany, for some people, it is a positive. And I want to say, I want to be able to, you know, like, gum somebody, but, you know, no, because if, yeah. But, yeah, some people like not having teeth. That's a positive thing. But it can also still be an insecurity because you don't ever want them to see you without your teeth. You know, well, at that point, you can. Right, because they're gonna want to see you without them because they want to feel those gums. You know what I'm saying? Like I hope I'm never able to gum somebody, but if I can, I'm gonna be a gummy bitch. If I ever get to that point, hopefully I won't have to get to that point. But I wouldn't be mad. I would love to try it, but my throat's so deep. I'm good no matter. I'm good. Oh God. But yeah, so just different things dealing with the medicine, your own insecurities. Like I said, some stuff dries us up. Some things take away our us wanting to have the sex in the first place. So it's a lot of different things like that. But yeah, I'm about to get out of here. I appreciate it, you all. Thank you. I appreciated the conversation. You all always just keep me going. And I appreciate that. But yeah, so I see you all next week. I had a topic for next week, but I forgot what it was. Damn, I hope I wrote it down. I probably didn't. I think I did. All right, y'all, I'm about to get out of here. Y'all know how I do it. I most definitely keep it kinky. And I will see you all next week. Don't forget, you can go find me on podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Good night. Did I hit it? No.
They call me the kinky K.I.D. I'm a kink, he's a kink, she's a kink, he's a kink. Wouldn't you like to be a kink too? I'm a kink, he's a kink, she's a kink, he's a kink. Wouldn't you like to be a kink too? I'm a kink, he's a kink, she's a kink, he's a kink. I'm a kink, he's a kink, she's a kink.